And now the KGEZ 2020 News Midday Summary continues. Joining us here in the studio is Steve Thompson. Hello, Steve.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good, good. Thank you for joining us today. Climate Smart Glacier Country, something you're deeply involved in.
Yep, that's right. It's a new organization, been around for almost a year now, and mm-hmm. I'm the chairman of it.
Let's talk a little bit about how you got into all of this.
Well, you know, I'm concerned about climate change. It's an issue that I've followed ever since I was in university. Back in the 1980s. And, you know, I realized that a lot of times it sort of gets involved in these political debates, and there's a whole lot we can do without even talking about politics. We can do things just in our own communities to reduce our contribution to the problem, but even perhaps more importantly is to recognize what the changes are that are happening and are projected to happen and how we can prepare for them.
I don't think there's any question by anybody that these things are happening. The climate is changing. The question seems to be, how is it happening? Is it happening naturally, or are we causing it?
Well, you know, it's been looked at pretty carefully by, you know, in fact, there's the Trump administration just put out a report. It was 13 different federal agencies that looked at it, and unequivocally, it is human emissions and particularly some land use practices such as a removal of a lot of forest all over the world. That's what's driving it. And in fact, if you looked at all of the other factors that historically affect climate change, because it is a natural phenomenon, although it happens over eons and eons, if we just looked at things like solar radiation, just the solar sun spots, things like that, or the axis of the earth, we'd actually be cooling just slightly over the last 200 years. But in fact, we're warming quite rapidly from an historic, you know, from, you know, a big picture perspective. And that's due to the emission of greenhouse gases.
It would seem that the speed of which this change is coming seems to be the sticking point here.
Yeah, that's right. It's, you know, there's some people that's true. They don't think it's going to happen as fast as the scientific community, really as a consensus, say it is happening. But you can look at what the trends have been globally, and we're actually warming and the sea is rising faster than the earlier models had projected. We're on sort of the far end of that range. So it's happening, and it's happening pretty quickly. But yet, even then, it plays out over the course of decades. It's not something you can just say, oh, well, tomorrow's going to be warmer. That must be because of climate change. That's not the way it works.
Have we reached a tipping point?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I don't believe so. I believe that there are still things that we can do. I think that we've already locked in a fair amount of climate change and global warming. It's already happening. In the industrial age, we've increased about 2.5 degrees globally, Fahrenheit, about 1 degree Celsius. But if we make the transition, which we can do, because the technology exists, we have all the mechanisms to make it happen. If we make the transition to a clean energy economy, then we can avoid the worst impacts of it. There'll be changes, but it'll be within the range of tolerance, which on the international community, 197 nations came to agreement a couple years ago at the Paris Agreement. And they said, it is our objective to keep the total climate change in terms of warming of the earth to no more than 2 degrees centigrade. And that is within reach, but it's going to require action by all of us.
I'm wondering, we say a clean energy. We see a clean energy economy. What are we specifically talking about here?
Well, there's a lot of components, and I'm glad you asked, because that's actually going to be the focus of our clean energy forum that's going to be in Columbia Falls on Thursday. But there's a lot of different pieces to it. And what's really interesting is that Flathead Valley, we are really poised to be at the cutting edge of this emerging economy. We've got some really great things going on here. You know, you look at battery storage. So when you're talking about a clean energy economy, you're talking about wind generation, you're talking about energy efficiency in your buildings, you're talking about solar, you're talking about geothermal. We are doing great things here. We got a battery company. We are poised to become a hub of innovation for non-lithium utility-grade battery storage. We got two startup companies that are off to a great start, and they've got a bunch of well-paid, highly educated engineers working for these two companies up in Columbia Falls. We've got Flathead Electric Co-op, which is by far the most forward-looking utility in the state, supporting things like methane capture at the landfill, turning turbines. Instead of putting that methane up into the air, we're actually burning it for energy. That's perfect. We've got Microhydro in Whitefish. We've got the first community solar project by Flathead Electric Co-op here in the Flathead. There's a variety of things going on, and we're going to sort of pull all that together. We got Stoltz plant, FH Stoltz Land and Lumber, very interesting biomass cogen plant that they developed in agreement with Flathead Electric Co-op. So we're going to take a look at all that stuff on Thursday. It's going to be up at Cedar Creek Lodge at 7 o'clock, and it's free and open to the public.
We were over on the High Line over the weekend, and between Cutbank and Shelby, every time I go by there, I see more wind towers up there.
Absolutely.
More windmills.
Absolutely. You know,
there must be a couple hundred of them out there now.
You know, I'm the same way. Whenever I drive over there, it's like, wow, there's a bunch more here. And so, in fact, you know, Shelby, the community of Shelby has really embraced it. They see that that's where their bread's going to be buttered in the future. And so, you know, there's still some remnants, you know, of some oil and gas economy in places like Cutbank and Shelby, but they are really diversifying. And the wind energy industry has been welcomed with open arms over there.
I'm amazed at how many there are. Where's that power going?
Well, I can't give you a real detailed answer. I mean, it's going onto the grid. You get into the transmission issue, and you get into a whole can of worms because we have major transmission happening from this state right now, largely from the coal strip coal plants heading all the way to the West Coast. They've already announced the closure of a couple of those. They're antiquated. They've already gone past their lifespan over at coal strip, and they've got some real problems and pretty high levels of pollution. And so the trick is, And what people are working on, some really interesting things going on in terms of wind in particular, but also solar, because Montana has got so much potential. We can fill those transmission lines with clean energy and send it to the West Coast, which is where it's high in demand.
We're talking with Steve Thompson about Climate Smart Glacier Country, and got a big event coming up Thursday night. We'll talk about that after this.
How's that?
This is the KGEZ 2020 News Midday Summary. KGEZ 2020 News Time, 12:25. Steve Thompson's our guest, and he's with Climate Smart Glacier Country, and you have a big event coming up Thursday night, right, in Columbia Falls.
That's right. Yep. Zantera's going to host us over there at the Cedar Creek Lodge, and it's going to be a clean energy forum, so we've got quite a few speakers. Some of them are going to be pretty short, just to get them all in. We're going to wrap up by 9. But we've got David Bope from Flathead Electric Co-op, who's sort of going to – Flathead Electric Co-op is really sort of at the core of the clean energy transition that's happening in the Flathead. And they've been innovating quite a bit. So he's going to talk about the different innovations that Flathead Electric Co-op is doing. We got Paul Sibelrude over at Vision Energy, which is really sort of at the cutting edge of developing some non-lithium utility-grade battery storage. Got Paul McKenzie from Stoltz Land and Lumber talking about their biomass cogen plant, which has been a big partner with Flathead Electric Co-op. That's been in place mm-hmm. for 4 years. So we've asked Paul to give us an update. What's going on with that? How is it working out? Sort of along the same lines, we've got Barbara Calm from Calm Veterinary Clinic over in Kyla. And she was one of the first businesses to put in rooftop solar. It's 2008. And so she's been really pleased with that. And there's a lot of myths about can solar work in the Flathead? And in fact, it's worked real well for her. And so we've got a couple different speakers who are going to look at that question of viability of solar here in the Flathead.
Does solar require sunlight or does it require just light?
Well, it really requires light. I mean, the more sunlight, the more direct light you have, mm-hmm. but diffused light, I mean, if you have a totally gray day, you're not going to get much. But there's still some. And, you know, I just looked at a report today that came out this fall from Montana Department of Environmental Quality looking at that question. And actually, people think that Montana's not all that great, but actually, we're right up there. The Flathead's up there. We definitely, it's viable here.
You were telling me about what do you call it, Butte?
Oh, the Gordon Butte.
The Gordon project. Butte. Tell me about it. That's fascinating.
This is a really interesting thing. So, you know, in order to get this wind energy that we have such high potential for, to get it to the markets where it's in high demand, because, you know, the people on the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, they are demanding clean energy. You know, there used to be a saying in business, the consumer's always right. Well, the consumer is demanding clean energy, and we've got lots of it, and we can ship it to them, and we've got these transmission lines, but sometimes the wind doesn't blow, and sometimes the sun doesn't shine, and so that's a big issue with renewable energy, is sort of the intermittent nature of it. So how do you capture all that energy when the wind is blowing, and maybe you don't necessarily need it at that moment? And so there's this installation going on right now over in Marr County called Gordon Butte. I think it's called the pump station, and essentially it is a liquid battery in the form of a reservoir. So when the wind is blowing, that will draw that extra energy when it's in excess of what the transmission capacity needs or what the market demands. Instead of sending it over to the West Coast, instead it pumps this water up in this closed loop system up into this reservoir that's several hundred feet above where this turbine is in the bottom. So when they need that power, then they go ahead and run the water through in this closed loop, run the generator, and then when they got excess energy, they pump it back up, and it's a closed loop type of battery.
So what you have is it's a wind or solar.
Could be either one.
All right, so you got wind or solar. All right, backed up by hydroelectric.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's happening in Montana. I may have my numbers wrong, but it's like $1 billion type of project. It's a big project. Mm-hmm. And this is the sort of place where Montana can really excel. And we really should be seizing the opportunities, because that's where the future is. The entire world is going to be moving to a clean energy economy. You can be at the forefront of it, or you can get run over by it.
So our big event is Thursday night. That's Thursday night at the Cedar Creek Lodge in the Conference Center there in Columbia Falls. You'll be presenting all of this and maybe some other exciting ideas as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got energy efficiency and geothermal, and we've got a whole range of things going on. So okay. It should be interesting.
Wow, what a great conversation. Steve Thompson, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.